Hello and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And today we're going to continue with our series on finding your purpose in Jesus Christ. And I want to open today with a scripture from the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 14, verse 12. And this is Jesus speaking. And what he's saying to his disciples is the following. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Now, that's a powerful statement. That's basically saying that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, can do even greater works than he did. And those greater works encompass our character development, as well as signs, wonders, and miracles. And so if we want to do what Jesus did, then we sort of have to go through the same process as he did in finding his purpose. Everything is connected to purpose. God's plan is connected to purpose and his purpose for your life. Now, as we continue to look at finding your purpose, I want to remind you that what I said the last time, that was post 104. So first we talked about the fact that we need to recognize the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? Well, if he was not human, then we couldn't possibly expect to be anything like him or do what he has called us to do. But it's because of his humanity that we can relate to him. There isn't anything about our lives that he doesn't understand or appreciate. And so if we first recognize that Jesus, when he walked on earth as a man. He was God incarnate, but he walked as a man. And because of that, he can be our example. He can be the goal. He can be the one that we seek to be like in every area of our life. And secondly, I want to make a distinction or a difference. There's a difference between a follower of Jesus and a disciple of Jesus. I think everyone starts out as a follower, but there comes a point where we are challenged to become disciples. And the difference between the two is very simple. A follower of Christ is basically what the Apostle Paul calls a babe in Christ. They're new Christians. Or if they're not new Christians, they are carnal Christians. That simply means that they've accepted Christ, but they haven't learned how to live the Christ-like life. And for further information about that, I would encourage you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and then also Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. And again, I discussed this in the last episode. So a disciple now is truly a soldier in Christ. Now, I use the word soldier because the Apostle Paul used the word soldier, but not because a soldier is warlike or fierce, but because a soldier has a disciplined life. Matter of fact, read what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 5. The point is that a true disciple is a mature Christian. Maturity in Christ is not measured in months or years, but in the willingness and in the area of obedience. Are you willing to obey what the scriptures say, and are you willing to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life? Now, I think we'd all agree that the Bible should be describes the pattern for our life. And this pattern that the Bible describes represents what God considers right. In other words, we know that because of Jesus Christ, his righteousness has been imputed upon us. It's not because of our own righteousness, but it's his righteousness. So when the Father sees us, he sees us through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But the truth is that we have a responsibility to live our lives according to the righteousness that's been imputed upon us. And so as Christians, we understand that we're to live like Jesus Christ in character. We're to be conformed to the image of Jesus by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Look, here's a couple of scriptures to think about or to meditate on. Romans 8:29. It says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." See, there's that we're to be like Jesus. He's the firstborn. We are those brothers and sisters that follow. Then there's Romans 12, 2, which says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That transformation means the change take place from the inside out. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. In other words, we're doing what God would want us to do. We're learning how to do that. Now, we know that the Lord is a giver of gifts. The Lord gives us the gift of Jesus, right? The Father gave us the Son. Jesus, the Son, gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of the gifts, or the fruit of the Spirit, as well as the gifts, the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. So you see, everything is a gift. We can't work or earn any of the Lord's gifts. We can only trust and obey. And it is by faith that we walk this walk that is called Christianity. Now, the Bible shows us what God expects from us and how, by cooperating with the Holy Spirit, He can lead us through our new life in Christ. Now, first, we have to learn how to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is outlined in Galatians 5:22. And fruit of the Holy Spirit is listed as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm sure there are a few of those attributes of the Holy Spirit that you're saying, well, I've got a long way to go in that area. I need to work on that area. But the truth of the matter is that because of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, all of these attributes that I've just mentioned, the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit, are already present in us in seed form. See, it's already there because of the Holy Spirit. What we're describing in Galatians 5:22 and on is what the Holy Spirit is like, the character of the Holy Spirit. He is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so all of these are already present in us. Now it's up to us to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit, how to yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, how to yield to the Scriptures as it speaks to us, and obey. Because as we begin to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then that seed will grow and bear fruit. I want you to remember Romans 12:2 again. It says that we're transformed. And now again, that word transformation is the idea that it's a change from the inside out. So we're changed by the Spirit of God on the inside, and as we walk in obedience, we will begin to manifest the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. So again, Romans 12:2 says we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, and we actively allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to do that transforming work in us. It's not a work, it's not an effort, it's not something we earn or deserve. It is available to us because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to take a moment to talk about the idea of the Father has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the evidence of our salvation is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit living in us. You see, Christianity is not a religion of rites and traditions and formalities, but Christianity is a living relationship with our Lord. And the Holy Spirit is the evidence of that sealing by the Lord. In other words, a genuine believer knows that they're born again, knows that they're saved, because they know they have the Holy Spirit. They sense His presence, His anointing in their life. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:21 says the following about sealing. Now, He who establishes us, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. See, the Spirit in our hearts is the evidence of God's seal upon our life. Then Ephesians 1:13 says, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, became born again, the gospel of your salvation, the good news. in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God promises us the Holy Spirit. And so there's that scripture that says sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Promise of more to come. Not just simply about salvation, but there's more to come. And then verse 14 says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then let's not forget Ephesians 4:30, and I'm sure this is a verse that you've been taught and you've heard. And 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So you see, that sealing has to do with salvation, and the Holy Spirit is the evidence of that seal. Now, I want to make a statement that all disciples are followers, but not all followers are disciples. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit always begins with our character. We must deal with first things first, and the first thing is learning how to move in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, allowing that seed to be watered and to be nourished and to produce fruit in our life. See, that's the first thing that people see. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. See, we are first followers of Jesus, and then we have to learn how to become disciples of Jesus. Now, a disciple's primary focus or goal is to bring glory to the Father, glory to the Lord. Now, how do I know that? Because that's what Jesus' purpose was, and he states it very clearly. He came to bring glory to the Father. And Jesus did this through two ways. He did it by a demonstration of the character of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he also demonstrated it with supernatural signs and wonders, which we are promised that we'll be able to do as well. Now, while a follower or believer in Jesus Christ has been sealed by the Holy Spirit, that's step one, a disciple has also been empowered by the Holy Spirit. The sealing represents redemption or salvation, whereas empowerment represents power. That word power, that means signs and wonders. You see, it's not just strength, but it is signs and wonders that demonstrate the Father's glory. Also, the sealing the empowerment also enables us to love in the same way that God loves us. That agape love, which is an unconditional love. It's not a love based upon our behavior. It's a love because God has decided to love us. And in the same way, we have to learn how to love others, not because of what they can do for us or what they have done to us, but because we have made a choice to love those whom God loves. And it also means, empowerment also means that we have a spirit-centered mind or a sound mind. Now, those three examples that I've given you probably cause you to remember a scripture from 2 Timothy 1:7. Now, I want you to know that the Apostle Paul was trying to stir up faith in Timothy. And this is what he has to say. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Supernatural power, unconditional love, and a mind to comprehend the revelation and the essence of the Holy Spirit through the scriptures and through our relationship with him. And then, of course, we all know Acts 1:8, where Jesus says to his disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You see, being a disciple is about character and power in the Holy Spirit. As water baptism is a sign of our surrender to Jesus for our salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a sign of our surrender to the Holy Spirit for service. So now we come to the central question. And the central question, which I ended with in the last post and I want to bring up today, is that since Jesus was fully human, how did he perform supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles, which confirmed the evidence, or was which confirmed the kingdom of God? It was evidence that the kingdom of God was present. And remember, wherever the kingdom is, that's where the king is. And since we're to be conformed, or we're to be like Jesus, how do we demonstrate the kingdom of God on earth in the same way? You see, Jesus, even in his humanity, needed the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill his mission. If Jesus is to be our pattern, the answer to this question is found in the following sequence of events in Jesus' life. Number one, we see Jesus receiving the Holy Spirit at his water baptism. Remember, the dove came down. We'll get into this at the next post. Number two, Jesus received the authority and power of the Holy Spirit in his wilderness experience. When Jesus was in the wilderness and being tempted by the devil, this is where he yielded himself to the Holy Spirit, and it says that he came out in power. And finally, Jesus received his mission statement following his wilderness experience, which made clear his purpose. So Jesus was received the Holy Spirit at his baptism. Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. And when he came out of the wilderness, he knew exactly what he was called to do. And so in the same way, we have to realize that these three areas are areas in our own lives that we have to make sure that we understand and embrace. We're not doing things by ritual. We're not doing things because we're supposed to do it. We're not doing it because the church leaders say that we should do it. But we're doing it because we know that God has called us into a discipleship relationship. Just as milk is for the follower, meat is for the disciple. And so we know that Jesus went through these three experiences, if you will. And in the same way, we need to go through those experiences as well. Again, it's not something that we work for, it's not something that we earn, but it is simply something that God wants us to step into. And as we step into it, we will see great and marvelous things. Now, that's all the time we have for right now, but I do want to say that in our next post, we're going to be talking about what Jesus went through in his water baptism, in his experience in the wilderness, as well as receiving his mission statement, or the purpose, understanding his purpose. And then from that, we're going to be able to gain so much insight that we're going to be able to apply it to our own lives, so that we can be confident and sure that we are anointed, that we are called for God's purpose, that we have supernatural power available to us because of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen? And so I look forward to seeing you the next time. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And again, we'll see you the next time.